Is there an echo? Okay, all right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Vine Church for those who are in the house and those watching online. Today is a special day for our church. We're celebrating 8 years today, and we give it up to God for his many blessings over that time and the journey that we've had to be able to get to this point. But we are also celebrating, as October is Pastor Appreciation Month, we are also celebrating our pastor. We are incredibly thankful, Tyler, for everything that you do for us and how God has allowed you to steward and to shepherd this flock that he has given you. And we appreciate how humble and how obedient you are to what he's called you to, and how you continue to love us and to also love the community that we get to be a part of. And we are excited and thankful to see each and every step of this journey alongside you. So thank you for everything that you do. Here is a gift from the church. I know you ain't gonna open it now, so enjoy it later. There's a bunch of other stuff in there, some cards and stuff too, but we just wanna say thank you. We love you and appreciate you very much, man.
All right, the check cleared. That's what happened. Zach, thank you for making sure before Alex came up here, I made sure that check I wrote him cleared for all those things he said about me. So I'm going to let y'all know God is good because I get to be here, right? Can we all say that today? I'm not saying because I'm here. I'm saying for all of us, God is good because we all get to be here. That sounded so. Let me try this. Alex, come back up and let's try. Okay, we're good. We're good. Let's try that. Well, here's where you can help me out today. Let three people know right now, God loves you and God has not forgotten you. God loves you and God has not forgotten you. God loves you and God has not forgotten you. God loves you. I need it. He hasn't. I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, wherever we are and wherever I'm at, don't I feel that God has forgotten me? Maybe I know God loves me, but I think he's forgotten me. Or I think he remembers me, but I forget that he loves me because I think he remembers my sin more than he remembers how much he loves me and his son. And so wherever you are right now, I kind of want us to think about that as we get ready to have a special celebration today. We're going to have an ordination service here in just a moment as we get to celebrate Zachary Candler there. And that's amazing and what God has marked his life with. We're celebrating 8 years of the Vine as well. But also, we've been walking through this series really the entire year. We've only got two chapters left. We're wrapping up 15. It's a long one. We're not going through every verse. 15 and 16 and 1 Corinthians. And we're going through this series called How to Thrive in Christ. And the reason we're going through this series is because the Corinthian culture is very similar to our culture. They live in a culture in a time where everybody says, hey, you live in your truth, and I'll live by my truth, and we're going to get along. But if your truth and my truth don't line up, we're going to hate each other. And Paul is trying to write the Corinthians and say, the problem is when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you follow Christ, who is the truth, not the truths of the world, while still living in the world and not being of the world. And so he continues in this letter in the Corinthian culture to unpack all of the truths that they try to walk in instead of the truth of Christ. And so that's kind of our focus here for the one verse that we're going to be in today as we dive into give yourselves fully. Give yourselves fully. Now think about that. Give yourselves fully. How many of us remember riding a bike? A long time ago for many of us, but we remember riding a bike. Yes, now I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to get 100% participation on this.
The answer is yes.
Okay, 100% participation. Usually in church, the answer is Jesus, but it's okay. We're going to say yes this time, so you should say yes to Jesus, both. How many of us remember falling off that bike? Yes, all of us. Did you fall off? Did you quit when you fell off? No. You gave yourself fully to it, and you want to know why you did it? It was your first taste of freedom since you took your first step walking away from your parents. It's the one thing you could get out of eye and earshot of them to do. You know, you just pedaled faster. They can't run that fast. That's all right. I know they can't. They can't do it. And when those training wheels came off, you were on wheels. Yes, All of us were that, right? You had a little BMX diet, like you were ready to go. You know, you were going over speed bumps like moguls in the yard and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And the reason I want to bring that up for us is this is what Paul's trying to help the Corinthians remember. They're following Jesus, but it doesn't seem that Jesus is working in their time. And it doesn't seem that Jesus is giving them the easy prosperity life that they thought they would get the moment they gave their life to him. Instead, it's taking God working in his time. But I don't know about you. Is God ever late? See, this time the answer is no. God ain't ever late. And so he's trying to help the Corinthians be reminded to give themselves fully to something, because all of us will give ourselves fully to something in this life. Maybe it's a good cause. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's another person. Maybe it's a spouse. But the truth of the matter is everything in this world will fade. Only Jesus won't. And trusting in him gives us life where you and I won't, because we will be with him eternally. So if you've got your Bible today, again, that's a perspective. We're going to be in one verse before we walk through some celebration. We're going to unpack it just a little bit and have some fun in the house of the Lord. If you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in verse 58. That's it. Shocker, I know. For me, but we got some celebration to get on with today. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be in the very last verse. It's going to be 58. If you don't have your Bible, as always, we have a Bible. I got to make sure that I bring more for the taking over in the garden area. You can have that, keep that with you. You can read that or bring it back here with your smiling face next week. Also, you can follow along with us on the Vine Church app, thevine.tv/app. It's our information hub where you can just hang out with us, find out everything that's going along. But I want to say, because he's down here magically making things work, every week Zach Handler and our Vine production team make sure the scripture's on the screen for you wherever you're watching, so you can cheat just a little bit if you would like. So we're going to start how we do every week here at the Vine. If you're at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord today, as it is 100%, excuse me, it is 100% on the screen for you too. This is what Paul says. Therefore, homework, read what Paul was talking about. Anytime you see therefore in the Bible, it is there for a reason, means he is expounding upon a point that was there before. So he says, therefore, and he's talking about everything in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ being true. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We've heard it said before, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will get a harvest, right? Paul is explaining to them, whatever you do, stand firm. Isn't that the hardest thing to do in the world? You know, not too long ago, we just had somebody who stood firm in the faith be killed for standing firm in the faith in America, and we were shocked. But you know, right now there are missionaries all over the world getting their heads chopped off, ripped away from their families. There are people who are confessing Christ as Lord that are coming from Islam that will never see their family ever again. There are people dying for the faith, and they stand firm. And so for us in America, we are so blessed. It can be hard to stand firm because it stands at odds with the world, and we're called to be peacekeepers, but we're not. We're called to be peacemakers. And the only way we can be a peacemaker is if we share the truth of Christ and let it do its work. See, the issue with you and I when it comes to standing firm, or at least for me, maybe it's not true for you, when I don't want to stand firm, it's because I want to operate in fear. Fear. This world will throw all types of fear at you to stand firm, doesn't it? It says, if you stand firm, I'll lose my job. If I stand firm, that person won't like me. If I stand firm, I'll never see them again. If I stand firm, I may not have that relationship built. If I stand firm, my bank account will be gone. If I stand firm, my very life might be taken from me. And regardless of where you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, we kind of like life, don't we? It's one of the benefits of following Jesus is eternal life, right? We want that. So Paul is saying, hey, wherever you are right now, I just want to remind you this. Fear and faith both make you believe in something you cannot see. When you rode that bicycle, you were fearful of falling till you skinned your knee and you realized it wasn't that bad. And then you just operated in faith. Mom and dad screaming at you not to go out in front of cars, that didn't stop you. Mom and dad telling you to stop at stop signs, that didn't stop you. You kept going in faith. The only way that you and I can stand firm is if we don't get into the fear that we can't see, the fear that we know does not matter, that Satan only throws at us, but instead stand in faith upon the rock that is Jesus. And so Paul is saying, now that you can stand firm in your faith, instead of operating in fear, let nothing move you. Don't let the way of this world move you. Don't let who's in office move you. Don't let what they say at school or what they say at work move you. Don't let these things that contradict the word of God move you. Hang on to Jesus. And how do we do it? We give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. How many of us have put money in the stock market, right? For retirement, right? What we hear about all the time. What if we kept putting our money in there and it kept going away? Will we say that that was in vain? Probably. I would be mad. Like if you put $1 million in there and you got $100,000 out, something ain't right. Somebody got some money somewhere and it certainly wasn't me. Yet when we follow Jesus, we get so results-oriented that we think that we should reap the harvest right away. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to work the harvest of the seeds that have already been sown before us while we still till the soil and plant seeds of the gospel for the harvest behind us, the harvest for those who are in Vine Kids to come reap. You and I are the few laborers. We are the blessed laborers that get to be the few to pluck the white harvest, the harvest that's ready to go, the harvest of souls that are ready to see Jesus be their Lord and Savior. This world that is weary and searching for the light of Jesus Christ, you and I get to be that. We get to give of our time, our talent, our treasure, our relationships, everything we are. Give yourself some, give yourself maybe, give yourself 99%. No, give yourselves fully. Because I want to ask you one thing. Did Jesus give himself fully for us or no? And thank God that he did. Praise God he did. I couldn't earn anything on that cross. As much as I love all of you and want all of you to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, my death on that cross wouldn't matter. My sacrifice on that cross wouldn't matter. None of that would. Yet Jesus gave himself fully for us so we could give ourselves fully to him to know that our labor is not in vain. Will you and I mess it up? Absolutely. You know why? Because we're human. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up sharing Christ with the Lord. We're going to mess up with our time, our talent, and our treasure. But we have a God who is faithful that works it all out for his glory and for our good if we stand firm on him in faith, not fear. So that's why I want to celebrate really quickly, and hopefully it's a quick word for us to hopefully be motivated to stand firm, to share the truth of Christ, to know that God loves us and God has not forgotten us. So really quick here at the Vine, I want to celebrate what we've seen over 8 years and then what we've seen since launch. And I just really want to talk, we talked about it a little bit at a prayer in our special shirts this year and what they matter. It's been a year at the Vine that has been absolutely amazing. And we'll get to the salvations and everything since 2017. I'll tell you this year so far, in 2025, we've talked about thriving in the Lord. Well, some of us probably may not feel like we're thriving. We've walked through some tragedies, some still fresh, some empty chairs that we're looking at. And I want to tell you those empty chairs that I'm always reminded of, know that that person in Christ Jesus, again, just a reminder, they are looking at an empty chair with your name on it. And they aren't sobbing because you aren't there yet. They're cheering you on as you run your race in Christ. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited because I know Jesus ain't taking me home till he's ready. He's probably frustrated at some things, I would say. But I know there are plenty of loved ones in heaven right now seeing that name and my seat in heaven. And though I miss them so much and wish they were here, I'm so thankful that I'm going to see him again. That it isn't. It isn't goodbye. It's just good night. They're just asleep until Jesus returns. The blessing of this year, we've had two new Vine kids being born. You're going to hear them probably here in a little bit, more than ever. They make sure that they're known. Praise Jesus. It's amazing. I love it. We've got two new Vine kids. We've had at least three salvations that we know of, and that's in the house that we know of. Sometimes we have some online that we don't know, and sometimes people don't respond with it. But in 2025, already we've seen three salvations. We've had three baptisms across two baptism services, and I'm excited to say we've got at least one more baptism service on the way, because we've got one more ready to be baptized, possibly two more, and there are more to come, which is amazing, through this year. And we've had our first ordination service, and now this is second one, which is crazy. It's a full year, and we ain't even got to Christmas yet. Nobody's excited. Christmas, y'all. Yeah. Get ready. Y'all already got the emails about the ad. It's Black Friday right now. Don't even lie. That's how you know we're in a tough situation. So that being said, wherever you are, let's talk about since 2017 launched, because God gets all the glory, and we're thankful, because I'm thankful for all of our sowers who give themselves fully with their time, their talent, and their treasure, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about us sowing seeds of the gospel for the harvest and the kingdom that he is building in and through us. And since 2017, we've got to see 27 salvations here at the Vine, which is crazy. That's awesome. I'm excited for that. No one claps. That's all right. I just lost my political campaign. That just killed political careers right there. You're supposed to clap there. You know, don't laugh. You know, anyway, we won't open that. So 27 salvations, 7 baptisms. I want to tell you, this is what's crazy. And I'm pretty sure we're going to pass it today. I'm just going to be real with you. We are a few thousand dollars from $1 million in tithes and offerings received since 2017, which is absolutely crazy. That's crazy. My house only costs like 800 grand. Y'all did great with that. Y'all built that. It's wonderful. Appreciate that. At all. No, y'all know better than that. With that, guys, this is why I'm thankful for that, is even though that has happened, we are going faithfully giving to God. We've sown $368,855 into global missions, as Matthew shared during the welcome, which is awesome. And that's, again, I'm just... Zach would be able to cue the clap track for me, so it would have been fine. He's down here with us for that. So that being said, why does that matter? Why does $368,000 matter? Really quickly, here at the Vine, just a reminder, every month, 10% of tithes and offerings go out to the local church around the world, and 5% of tithes and offerings go to a gospel-centered nonprofit. So when we launched, Jesus said you were to give 15% off the top no matter what. He's allowed us to give almost 37%, church. That's crazy. Like, I don't know. I don't think you get the magnitude of that. Like, yes, obviously, yes, I stand up here. I'm not taking a salary. I'm called to build tents as Paul is called to do. But one day, we're not going to have that. We're going to have staff, and we're going to be growing, and maybe a facility someday. All those crazy good things that God has for us, but we trust him and his timing to be debt-free when it comes to that. We trust him to do that. And I'm going to say, your faithfulness now in giving 37% of tithes and offerings tells God, hey, we're standing firm. We know our work for the Lord is not in vain. We're giving ourselves fully to you. Because you know how easy it would be to hold that back? You know how great it would be for us to go to a bank and say, man, we got $500,000 in the bank right now of all that we've given away. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go get a loan, and let's go get a $20 million space from that. There's nothing wrong with people doing that. It's just not what he's called us to do, church. And I'm thankful that we are faithful in that. So I just want to celebrate that and thank God for this. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. No, really. Somebody come up here. I'm going to chop your hand off. We're going to give Jesus a hand. I said fully to the Lord, church. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. So really quick, I'm going to get going because I'm going, they're giving me the wrap it up upstairs, so I got to get there. So that being said, we're going to get ready for that for what ordination is really quickly. I just want to remind you what ordination is before we call Zach up. And do everything for celebrate him and this calling God has on his life. So why are we doing ordination and what is it is? Well, ordination is just the church's affirmation of God's call upon their life. It's something that all of us can be as Christians. It's something that's set apart. It is for people who are leaders that are going to be stepping into ministry and giving and surrendering to that calling. This isn't something where we've charged people where like they've bought like, you know, X amount of dollars, like they had to get a visa, you know, like a green card first, and they've worked their way through that thing. No. Ordination is a calling upon somebody's life. The church doesn't make that calling for them. God makes that calling for them. Ordination is an affirmation of the church upon that. So what does it look like for ordination for us? Well, what happens is the person who is a candidate for ordination submits their written testimony to our ordination committee. Right now, that's our pastoral advisory team. And they answer questions about who Jesus is. How would you share Jesus with others? What does it mean? How would you, what, if you were standing at the gates of heaven, what would you say? See, this church is where you just say Jesus because there is no other answer. And if somebody adds anything to it, then that's it. You can't really add much to it. We don't deserve to be there. It's Jesus. They talk about their gifting and their call to ministry, when they were called to ministry. Some people will say they've had a burning bush experience. Some people would say that they didn't. Some people would say this calling happened and it was just somewhere in the middle of a parking lot at Starbucks and God hit me with it. Some would say it was when this person spoke at church. Some would say it was when I took this step of obedience, but they answer questions about that, and we covered those different areas in 1 Corinthians 12. Their character is referenced, and I'm going to read that here in a moment, what their character should look like in 1 Timothy 3. And they call witnesses to testify to their testimony in the Lord. And we're going to have those two here in just a minute, who Zach has called. And then there'll be some others, right? I'm just kidding. Zach, don't get excited. If somebody came out the back, how? Anyway, it's all right. We'll figure that out later. Ushers, lock the doors. We're going to take a special offering up. It's going to be fine. That's it. We're going to get there. We're getting a million one way or the other, church. That being said, so once they do that, they submit that. The committee goes. We pray about it. They approve them or say hold off on it. And obviously today we're moving forward with approval. The church gathers together here today to affirm them. We lay hands on them. We pray over them. And we send them out however God calls, which can mean serving here in the church itself. But we want them to be obedient to God's call upon their lives. So really quickly, what does this character look like? And we go and reference, you could go to Titus if you wanted. We reference 1 Timothy 3 here when it comes to that, as Paul wrote Timothy as he was getting ready to be executed by Nero. This is what Paul writes to him about a qualification of a leader, a qualification of somebody who is set apart in ministry. And he says this in verse 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. I don't know about you, but that's Zach Candler to me, 100%. I mean, you could say that. I could see them all over that, and I pray that for everyone who steps into ministry, that is what we would be known as. It's not perfect, because none of us would say that we are, but this is how we represent Christ. And so that being said, I'm going to call Zach up here. I think we'll bring a chair up here maybe just to embarrass him even more, because he and I are very similar. We don't like to be in the spotlight from time to time. He's going to sit here while everybody talks trash about him the whole time. And here's what I'm going to ask Zach really quick, and I already know his answer. So the church may know that you yourself, believe that you are called by God to be in ministry as an ordained minister. If that is true and you believe God has called you to that, will you signify by saying, I do? He said, I do. So he's going to have a seat. So Zach's given his testimony. He's been submitted to questioning. He's been approved by the committee. And today he selected witnesses to testify to his calling of ministry on his life. And his first is his dad, and his second will be his brother that I will call up here in a moment. And I think Becky might have some. She slipped a note here a minute ago about some stories that I'm going to read here in just a little bit. But I'm going to call Mr. Joel Candler up, and he's going to speak about his son. So y'all welcome Joel.
That's why we have Zach in the family. I didn't know he was going to be sitting right here. This might be harder. I've got notes, y'all, just so I stay on track, because when it comes to my kids and my in-law adopted kids, I can talk about them for hours on end, and I don't want to do that. I want to just share some things about him and how I've seen Christ work in his life. Throughout his life, you know, when Tyler asked me to do this, I was reading in Matthew the other day about Jesus talking about the parable of the seeds. And he's talking in that parable in Matthew 13. He's talking about God, or the sower, sowing seeds and it landing on different types of ground. And some of it landed on beside the road and the birds ate it up. Some of it landed in rocky ground. It didn't have much of a depth of soil, so it didn't grow. But in each one of my kids, I can tell you that God planted some seeds, even when they were really small. And I can see now how he's raising them up to be what he's called them to be. They're gifted some ways. They're all over the place, and in a lot of ways, they're right together. If I was working at Timken, and when I was a chief inspector, if I needed a spreadsheet, or I couldn't make a spreadsheet do what I wanted to do, I was calling Becky. She was the spreadsheet guru. She's the office manager for the Kate Center Union. Super smart. And I don't want to get choked up. But Mike and David, he would be my go-to guy for, and my phone's acting up, or I need a cord for this piece of music that we were playing when I was playing for a praise team, or and when he was actually playing with us for a praise team in a church that we grew up in. Zach would be my technical guy. He is the guy that's always diving into things and seeing how things work. One of their common threads, though, was their love of music. And I know we have Tim and Olivia back here with Vine Kids this morning. Thank God for them. With all the kids that they've got, praise the Lord for that. But one of their common threads with all three of them is they love music and they love marching band. 10 years of marching band. You got a football player? Come talk to me. We went through 10 years of marching band. You don't know. I'm sorry, Tyler, but you just don't know. 10 years of marching band. But one of the cool things I got to see through their years in the band was I got to see each one of them, some of that seed that God had planted in them started to take root and started to grow. Because each one of them, as they came up through band, they assumed leadership roles. And I saw each one of them become a band captain. That's one of my clicks that I can go back and look, and I can see how God wired them to in a lot of the same ways, but in a lot of different ways. And each one of them was a different kind of band captain for their sections. But just watching them grow up and take on those leadership roles and take on the characteristics that you read about in the scriptures where you see Jesus talking about leaders. And we're going to read a passage from Matthew 20, 25 through 28. And Jesus had to say this about leaders, because, you know, we've got a lot of people right now who want to be leaders, right? We look at the TV every day. You pull up Instagram, YouTube, you got influencers, you got all kind of people wanting to lead people. But Jesus had to say this when James and John's mom wanted him to give them the chairs on either side of him to make them co-rulers in his kingdom. And Jesus said, hold it, boys. Y'all know what you're talking about. But he said this, and this is, when I think of this verse, when I read this the other day when I'm reading through Matthew, I thought of Zach. And he says, Jesus called him to himself, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It's not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When I think of these verses, I think of Zach because of his humility and his willingness to serve. Even, I guess, one of the tip-offs for him and his mom, and we were talking about this the other day, was when he was in band, he came to us. He had worked all summer laying carpet with a friend of mine, and that's a pretty tough job. And I'm like, he comes in and he says, I want to use my money that I put in savings to help another student go to band camp who couldn't afford it. And I'm like, what? He's, yeah, I want to take my money and help pay for this other student's band camp. And I'm like, yeah, dude, if that's what you want to do, you do it. And I guess that was one of the first times that I knew that God has something really special for this young man and that he was going to do something special through him. Tyler's talking about all of our 8 years as a church, and I kept thinking about all the steps that our family has been through at church and just where he's brought us. We've been to four different churches now. We all grew up at Fair Forest. I have to thank my kids because they saw something that their mom and I didn't really want to do when we left the church that we were serving at. I'd led the missions teams and all this stuff at Oak Brook, and they started traveling to Greenville, to New Spring. And I'm like, what the world? We can't do that. We can't drive to Greenville every day. And they kept telling me about this church that says, it's okay to be not okay. And I'm going like, wow, that sounds cool. You know, and then they started talking about starting a Spartanburg campus. And so they led us to that next step of getting involved at New Spring and starting a Spartanburg campus. And there was a lot of mornings when we decided to do that. Right around that time, David nailed down his relationship with Jesus and got baptized. And once they announced where the Spartanburg campus was going to be, pretty much the whole family got involved in serving. I had no idea what in the heck I was doing, getting involved in KidSpring and children's ministry. And Zach dives into production, and there was a lot of mornings. Those 5 o'clock mornings, 4:30 mornings, driving up the 4-lane to go to the Marriott in Spartanburg, and just seeing, diving into the ministries that we were in, but seeing him grow and get into that ministry, not only just getting into production and the tech side of everything, because we don't realize what all goes into this. And at that time, it was really a much huge thing than it is even at our church. But just getting to see him take on those roles and then take on a leadership role. And through all of that, though, he was hearing these sermons on Sunday, and he really was convicted that he didn't have the relationship with Jesus that he thought he had. And he made Jesus the Lord of his life. And then from that point on, he started taking on roles. A friend of mine, Clint Spicer, said, tell you he would be here today, but he couldn't. Clint, if you're watching online, this one's for you. He said he walked into A Control. He was serving in A Control one morning. This is this dark, big, dark room. All you see is monitors. This screen's going on, live feed and everything. Zach's kind of like the service leader, and Clint's having a problem with something. And I never will forget this. He couldn't get the feed. The feed was dropping out on him or something. He walks, Zach, I don't know him. Zach walks up and says, oh, there you go. And Clint said, dude, he is so cool, man. So he's just like, no pressure. You know, I'm like, he said, I couldn't believe he could do that. I said, yeah, that's Zach. That's him. I said, now, he may have been freaking out on the inside, but he wasn't going to let you know that. But, Clint, I told Clint the other day about that, and he said, man, I could see that coming. So it was the people that served around him, Nathan, Clint, all those guys, man, they knew, they saw it early on that he was going to be a leader in the church. So really this is not a surprise. And I saw a quote the other day, and I've got to use it because William Arthur Ward said this. He said, we must be silent before we can listen. We must listen before we can learn. We must learn before we can prepare, and we must prepare before we can serve. We must serve before we can lead. He's done all that. I've seen in his life. Not just in church, but in life itself. There's many times we laughed about talking about different things that we were stressing out over. And I remember we were sitting at the kitchen table, and Pratt and I were talking about something was going on. I don't remember, even remember what it was. All I remember is him like sticking his head in the door and like, did you guys listen to the sermon yesterday? God, it's bad when you get burnt by your child, you know what I mean? But he let us have it, buddy. And I mean, but he was speaking the truth, and he spoke it in love. He wasn't being mean or anything. And so I saw those kind of things that was going on. And he's a perfect example of a servant's heart. This is killing him. He don't like being out here. I know it. And during that time, he was learning all this stuff and learning to take on leadership roles. And I knew that God had planted that seed in him, and he was growing. And not only was he growing himself, he was growing our family. He was helping us take steps. There's a lot of things I'm not going to get into everything that God had done in our life from that time on. And it seemed like we were in that season, all of us together. And then God led us to take that next step, and he was really involved with that. And in 1 Corinthians 13, which is one of the things we just read, we were reading in Corinthians, but in 13, 4 through 7, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. It does not brag, it's not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. When I read that scripture, honestly, I think of every one of my kids because they're great leaders in their own way. They're all a little bit different. David's leading the tech team in Hickory Ridge in Delaware now, and I mean, I'm amazed at these two young men and how they can put a team together of people, and they don't have to beg. They don't have to call them 50 times. They just have people that love them, and they treat them with a lot of respect. And I had an intern, or I think he was an intern. He's around here somewhere, Josh. He asked me years ago, he said, so what's your leadership? What's your leadership philosophy? I don't even know if he remembers asking me this or not. And I never really thought about it. But when I think about my kids, this is what I think of. I said, you tell people that you love them. And one thing I love about that, John Maxwell said, people don't care what you have to say until they know that you care. So you tell people you love them. That was my number one. And then you tell people that you lead about Jesus. And number three, finally, admit when you make a mistake. Don't try to be the big dog and let everybody think you're perfect. I know a lot of people like that. I don't want to be around them very much. This guy models that. And I've always watched my kids do it. And the best thing I can think of was an acrostic, a leader sees. You serve above all else. God's leadership pyramid is upside down. It's not the leaders at the top. The leaders at the bottom, and you're serving up. So a leader serves. A leader encourages others. A leader empowers the others, and a leader sends them. So to me, that was that's all I could say about being a leader. And Sherry Duffy at New Spring used to tell me, one of the first questions she would ask me when she would come in would be like, who are you? Who's your replacement? And I'm sure it made me think, because who am I raising up to replace me? And if I had any advice for anybody who ever wanted to be a leader, but I see these kids of mine, and I know that they're following what God says about a leader should be, and the people that they lead. They're going. If anybody knows him, a lot of his friends are here. Anybody knows him knows that God has brought him to this place and time. And if it hadn't been for our kids going, taking that next step and changing and moving on and actually kind of tugging and dragging us with them, then I probably wouldn't be here, because I wouldn't have wound up on staff at New Spring and listening to my coworkers come in every day who work with production, and they're coming in and they're talking about Zach. We're trying to get him on staff. We need him on staff. Man, this guy is so good. And I don't want to embarrass him, but that was a conversation every time I had with somebody that worked around him. It was like, man, he's so calm, and he really cares about people. And I am really excited, Zach, for what God's got for you. I know it's going to be something awesome. I just know it. But I appreciate this church just putting your faith in him. I know whatever it is God calls him to do, he's going to do well at it. Love you, buddy.
Speaker one of eight we have today, so I hope you are comfortable. For 8 years, no? We could do it. I know we could have eight folks, but I'm thankful now that Zach has selected. You have been chosen. His brother, David Campbell, is going to come up and speak a few words about Zach. That might involve some pictures or not. We will see. So, David Campbell, come on up. Y'all give him a hand.
Okay, so if you know me at all, I used to be here about 4 years ago and then moved to Delaware. Why? It's my wife's fault. That's why we moved to Delaware. when Tyler asked me if I would do this, I was like, yeah, I guess I didn't feel like I could say no. I didn't really want to say no, but if you know me, I'd much rather get up here and sing a song in front of people than speak. So I'm going to try to get through this. Ever since I became a father, I cry at the drop of a hat. So I'm sorry, Zach. I'm probably going to boohoo a little bit. I did write it down, so I'm going to be a little more concise than Daddy. Sorry. I should have gone first. I guess it's age before beauty. So anyway, like I said, my name is David, and I'm Zach's brother. Believe it or not, at one time in our lives, I was taller than him. Yeah, it's crazy. Stand up, Zach. Let's just check this out real quick. He is my little brother, y'all. He is my big little brother. So, Zach and I are only 22 months apart, and for some crazy reason, our mother decided to always dress us alike, like twins. We hated it. I actually got some pictures. We can just kind of go through them. I'm the taller one on the right in this one, on the left in this one, so you can see we were cute at one time. I don't know what happened. You see the trend of us wearing the same thing. It's a little bit nuts, but yeah, you can go to the next one. We thought we were so cool. Yeah, look at that. See, I said we were so cute. Then what happened? What happened? We kind of took the twin thing a little too literally, and we both grew our hair out in high school, and I couldn't grow that much hair if I tried anymore, so it's quickly going. Anyway, so we both really wanted to be our own person, not two versions of the same one. But I think that even then, we didn't like the idea of living in each other's shadow, although these days, on a sunny day and in the right direction, I can't help but live in his shadow. It's like, where'd the sun go, you know? But anyway, we experienced a lot of life together, as you saw in those pictures. And we got in trouble a lot. It was mostly because of me. I'm the middle child, and that's just what we do. And it's a wonder he didn't kill me because of all the torment that I put him through. That's a testament to his patience, because I'm sure he wanted to plenty of times. Like most brothers, we fought sometimes, but the great thing about brothers is that you can fight and get over it and go right back to being friends again. We spent hours playing video games together, and Zach, being the little brother, usually got player two, and he was usually cool with it most of the time if we were playing Kirby or something. And I actually catch myself calling my son Liam Zach sometimes when we're playing video games together. I'm like, Liam, Zach, come on, come over this way. I'm like, what? He's like, huh? So, yeah, some habits die hard with that. So, growing up side by side made us close even when we didn't want to be. And we had our ups and downs, but honestly, I can say I'm proud. Oh, here we go. Proud to call him my brother. So Tyler asked me to say a few words about how I've witnessed Christ in Zach, and a couple of things immediately stood out, and me and my dad did not compare notes, so there's going to be a little overlap. I'm sorry. You know the same person, you kind of start to pick up on the same things. So the first is his servant heart, which my dad already talked about. In Mark 10:45, and I think my dad used another scripture that kind of says the same thing. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I saw Zach's devotion in this. I see it when I come here. He literally builds church every week. He wakes up at awful times and stays here awfully late or gets up awfully early. I can't fathom that anymore. I used to do it too, and I just can't do it anymore. But he does that every week, and it takes a true passion to be able to do that. At the same time, he shows that servant heart everywhere with family, with friends, and he's always willing to jump in and lend a hand. Actually, just yesterday, we were hanging out at his house, watching some football, making hash. Haven't been able to be around for that in a while, and it was a good time. But we were actually out in the yard chipping some golf balls, and he patiently took the time with me because I am hopeless at golf. I don't play golf. He took the time with me to, like, show me the technique. He didn't make any jabs at me like you think a brother would. Like, man, you're awful. He didn't do any of that. He just patiently showed me, hey, try this. And it was just just a small thing. But in those small things, Christ's humility and gentleness shine through him. Another quality I've witnessed in Zach is his steadfastness in following wherever God leads him. As the baby of the family, the rest of us have always tried to give him advice, even though it's unsolicited most of the time. Sorry, Zach. But through the years, he's faced tough decisions and made them with prayer, conviction, and faith. And I've come to really respect that and respect the man, husband, and father he's become. I remember one instance in particular, and I really hope I'm not going to get in trouble with my sister-in-law for this. But I'm going to talk about it anyway because I think it was good. He had just started seeing Tressa, and we were all really excited. He finally met somebody. And, sorry, someone special. There we go. I met Tressa briefly before, but hadn't really gotten to know her much. And then not long after, Zach calls me and says that he's going to propose. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. And then not long after that, we're going to get married. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really fast. And so it just kind of caught me off guard. And let me figure out where I'm at here. Yeah. And I was really happy for him, but it concerned me. Things were going quickly. So one day I'd been talking to my wife about it, and he just really was on my heart. And I was like, I gotta call him. I got to talk to him. So I nervously called him one day and said I wanted to talk. I told him I loved him and that I wanted what was best for him. And then I just wanted him to be sure. I figured he might get upset. He might even uninvite me from the wedding. But he listened carefully. I myself had some issues with, you know, almost getting married in the past. And it was the wrong person. It was the wrong time. And I needed to get it off my chest. But he did not get upset. He responded with grace. And he told me he appreciated where I was coming from. But that he truly felt God was leading him to move forward. And I've respected that. I respect that deeply. I always remember that conversation. That will be burned in my brain forever. Looking back now, I can see God's hand all over that moment. But because through that step of faith, I gained an amazing sister and a wonderful niece. I should have just sang this instead. It'd have been easier. I also gained a brother whose trust in God always has been steady and sincere. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Watching Zach become a husband and a father has been one of my greatest joys. Punch me or something, so I'll stop. Okay. His life is proof that when we listen to God's leading, even when it doesn't make sense to others, he brings about something beautiful. Okay, now I've got to talk to you. So, okay. I'm proud of you. Proud of the man you are. Proud of the man you are and the calling you're stepping into. You've always had a heart to serve, to love others, and to follow Christ wherever he leads you. And as you enter this new season of ministry, I pray you'll continue to live out these words from Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless you as you serve. May your life continue to point people to the love of Christ, just as it already has for me and our family. And if you ever need anyone by your side on this journey, just know I'll be ready to pick up player two when you're ready. Love you.
All right. I had 45 minutes, but I'm going to cut mine down to just a few. David was so good, he didn't tell everybody Zach changed his number after he called about that conversation. That's all right. We're good. We're good. I know better about that. I know better than that. But really, I can't really add. I can add a lot more, but I'm not going to add too much more to say. Early mornings, early, late nights. Zach, we've been doing this a minute. 8 years is crazy. Been a blink of an eye, feels like. A lot longer than that, actually. Probably, I looked the other day, and I've been in ministry now for 13, going on 14 years now. Right at 14 years. Been loading out for most, in and out for most of it. Even in a building, driving a golf cart, running around, putting signs up and down. And we were there early those mornings at the Marriott. It was really, really cold. Trucks wouldn't start. Way back in A Control. And I remember just seeing Zach at the building much. I didn't know Zach much. If you know Zach, he doesn't speak much, which is not something that I am known for. So that being said, what I love about Zach is when he does speak, it carries weight. And I think you've heard that from everyone here. And I know even from checking flat tires to see if we could, just the other week, to see if we could figure out a flat tire. Works with gout. If you don't know this about Zach, he's had to be in a wheelchair loading in and out before with a cane. I hobble around, but I think he had the cane. I wanted to get him a nice hat and a big long coat. We'll do that next time for Halloween. He'll be a good one with that. On vacation, he remotes in, even from the mountain. He makes sure that he can remote in. And if the stream doesn't work, y'all, he's upset. Normally has to put up with me saying, you know what, we're not going to stream today. Because Zach's on vacation, he's on his phone, and I can see him right now. He's probably somewhere on the lake over at the border trying to figure out what to do. They're moving the boat to locations to try to figure things out. He puts up with a ton of my crazy ideas when it comes to set designs or pushing things forward, like automating things. That was a crazy venture, but he got it worked out. I was like, man, we could automate this thing. It's really easy. Yeah, it turned out it wasn't easy, but he made it work. It's easier now. He's made it work. Like, I was so excited to do those things, and he puts up with those things. But y'all are all going to make me cry, but it's okay. I'm going to hold it together because I'm not, you know, I'm not one for crying. But one of the most important things Zach did is he made sure that when my mother died during COVID, him and Alex set up a camera so that I had her service. He didn't have to do that. They went outside of my Jeep getting ready to preach the service. They ran upstairs and made sure that was gone. And I can never thank you enough for that. Because at a time nobody could be together, he made sure it was online. And if you know Zach, that's him. He's behind the scenes. He hates this. Believe it or not, with my fat head, I don't like this either in the spotlight, but I can know he hates it. But the one thing I can tell you about Zach is he's given himself fully to the Lord. There's no doubt about that. And so it is my honor and privilege to stand here today to say this about him, to say that I know that this is the callings God's had on your life for a while. I know that you are the answer. Many prayers are being answered right now for a long time, and I'm thankful that we get to be a part of it, that selfishly I get to be a part of it. I'm not going to lie to you, that I get to be a part of it. And you can ask anyone about Zach, and they will tell you Jesus is all over him. And so I will say, as Zach's standing here awkwardly, here for a little bit longer, this is probably the most he sat at the center of anything since a birthday party when you were a kid. Be honest. It's probably, I feel the same way about it. I understand. I'm going to say this, that Zach would want you to know this. God loves you, and God's not forgotten you. Through many twists and turns, through doubts, through fear, God has shown that he is faithful and that his timing is perfect. Given himself fully to the Lord. Church, for those of us who have, that's what we want, doesn't it? We want everyone we know to give themselves fully to the Lord. Because we're going to give ourselves fully to something, even if it is player two. David, if you're at his house, you're playing player two. I'm just saying, he said it. I think that that's fair. But we're going to give ourselves to something, a life, a career, a person, a status, a street address, a car that's going to break down, a boat that never works, you know, a gun that misfires, a bank account, a government, a politician. We are wired to give ourselves fully to something. What will you give yourselves fully to? Is it going to be something that is going to be in vain? Or is it going to be the one who gave everything for you? Because see, in Christ Jesus, my little bit ain't nothing. But it is so full. Zach's little bit feels like nothing, but it is so full because of Jesus. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not mad at you. God has forgotten your sins in Christ Jesus, and he loves you enough to make a way for you to be in relationship with him. Will you choose him today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do every week is to make sure that many more would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're about to say a prayer right now. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to please repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether you're online or you're in the house today, I'm going to ask you to boldly take a stand today. I'm going to ask you if for the first time you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. You just slip it up and put it back down. If that's you, raise your hand today. 1, 2, 3. You're in the house. If you're online, you can leave a raised hand. We would love to follow up with you. You can shoot us an email at hello@thevine.tv or shoot us a message throughout social media or in our app. We want to celebrate this decision with you because the full life Jesus died to give you doesn't just end with you. It begins with you and continues forward in a local church near you so that you can thrive in him, because that's what we want for you. And we want to get you in touch with a local church near you. For everyone else, you can go ahead and look up. We're going to stand up and we're going to have a moment of worship here before we lay hands on Zach and pray over him. If you just want to, in this moment, I just want to ask you, would you just stand firm in the Lord? Let's just talk about his goodness. Right now, you may be in a season that it doesn't feel good. You're in a season that God seems to have forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. God is not done with you. There's still breath in your lungs. Maybe today, right now, God's put a call on your life and you've ran from it. And today is the day of your confidence. And today is the day that you step forward. Make it known. We would love to help you with that. Please let us know. And for everyone else, maybe you're in a great season. Look around you right now at this family, because someone may not be in a good season. And if you see that, go put your arm around them as we worship the Lord.
little switch. So it's been a while since we've been able to be up here, me and Marla, but we decided on singing the song Good Plans, because I know that God's got good plans for this church. He's got good plans for Zach and his family. And if you're not dead, God's got a plan for you. So y'all can sing this with us.
Me. She
care about something Zach's going to hate even more because he's going to be back in the spotlight. So, church, really quickly, before we come up here, do you affirm the calling of Zach's? Yes, of Zach being into pastoral ministry. Yes, I hear yes. So we're going to get a chair. We're going to grab a chair. We're all going to come up here, lay hands on Zach, and pray over him. My man Samuel's been praying real hard right now, I can tell. So Zach's going to get up here. If you're watching online, I don't know if the stream may or may not cut off, but we're going to lay hands on him, pray him, and send him out to do what God has called him to do. If you're leaving us right now, we hope you have an awesome week, and always remember the best is still yet to come. All right, everybody's going to get up here, and we're going to put hands up there. Put hands on everybody. We good? All right. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for Zach. We thank you for the calling that you have on his life, and we thank you for just the opportunity to get to be a part of what you are doing in and through him. Every one of us will know that we have had Zach impact life in some way, shape, or form. Everyone who's watching online or has come online or has seen a stream, who will see this stream in years to come, have been impacted by Zach, Jesus. So we just thank you for what you have done in and through him. We thank you for his obedience to you, Jesus. I pray right now that he will stand firm in you as he continues to give himself fully to you. And Jesus, for you have in store for him, Jesus, no matter what it is, he's going to do all that he can to serve you. As the world comes at him and as Satan does it, what he always does to try to discourage and bring fear in Zach's life, we just pray he would continue to operate in faith. And if he needs somebody to shout at, scream at, or talk to, Jesus, remind him that we're all here. He doesn't do that much. He's got great patience, Jesus, and we thank you for that. Thank you for you being all over his life. We love you, Jesus. We love Zach. We can't wait to see what you are going to continue to do in and through him. We thank you for him being part of our Vine family. It's in your name and for your glory that we pray.